Welcome to Royal Legacy, where we will explore the rich athletic history and deep family connections of BYU sports. Join us as we honor the past, celebrate the present, and look forward to the future of the BYU Cougars. Here's your host, Lauren McLean.
How's it going, everyone? I'm Lauren McLean, and welcome to Royal Legacy, where we dive deep into the family connections of BYU sports. Joining me today are father and son, Vance and Adam Law. Vance played baseball and a little basketball for BYU from 74 to 78. He played professional baseball from 1980 to 1991 and became head baseball coach at Brigham Young University in the year 2000. He coached the Cougars for 13 seasons. Adam played at BYU from 2009 to 2013. He was drafted by the Dodgers in 2013 and is currently an assistant coach for the BYU baseball team. Guys, thank you so much for being here with me.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, our show is about family legacies around BYU sports, and the Law baseball legacy at BYU immediately comes to mind. It all starts with Vance's dad and Adam's grandpa, Vernon Law. So let's give him a little background on him. Vernon joined the Pittsburgh Pirates in 1948, played his first MLB season in 1950, served in the military from 1951 to 1954. He returned to the Pirates and played from 1954 to 1967. He was a two-time All-Star and helped the Pirates beat the Yankees, winning the 1960 World Series. Vern won the Cy Young Award in 1960, and he went on to be a pitching coach for the Pirates and assistant here at BYU. Woo! Vance, what was it like growing up with a father like Vernon? What was that like for you?
It was wonderful. I felt very special, and probably because of his notoriety there in the Pittsburgh area, he would take one, maybe two of us boys to the ballpark almost every day during the summer, where we could be out on the field during batting practice. They don't really allow that anymore for insurance reasons, but back then we went out and would shag fly balls. He just told us, make sure you don't get in the outfielder's way, and you stay back near the warning track so that you're out of the way of balls being hit too hard.
Oh, my gosh. That's incredible.
But it was a lot of fun. I was always so proud after the game to be able to wait outside the clubhouse, but in kind of a tunnel waiting area, and then just kind of hold his hand as he walked us out, and people just clamoring for his signature usually on a baseball or on a hat or a glove, and he would patiently just sign his name away, and I was standing there just kind of hanging onto his arm and hoping not to get lost.
That's got to be interesting as a kid, because you don't know anything else besides that, and you just know him as your dad. Was there a time you realized where it kind of clicked, like, whoa, my dad's a big deal? He's more than just my dad. Like, so many people know him. Do you remember a time where that kind of clicked for you?
I do. Probably age 7 or 8 when these kinds of occurrences took place. Not everybody had a dad where everyone would ask for his signature, and so I knew that he was special. But he was special dad too. He was a good father. He didn't have a whole lot of energy because he needed to get his rest, and I didn't really understand that. Why can't you come out and play wiffle ball with us? But he needed his rest, and he would always go to the ballpark around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and that's when our afternoon games, pickup games, would take place in the neighborhood.
Well, you did pretty well for yourself, Vance, in the pro baseball world as well. You played professional baseball from 1980 to 1991. You played with the Pittsburgh Pirates, Chicago White Sox, Montreal Expos, Chicago Cubs, Chunichi, as I pronounce that, Chunichi Dragons in Japan, and the Oakland Athletics. Hit 71 home runs, 442 RBIs, and a career batting average of .256. You were named by Sports Illustrated as 19th on its list of Utah's 50 greatest athletes of the century. You were a big deal yourself, so now I want to go over to Adam here. Baseball has meant so much for your family, Adam. Growing up, did you always see baseball as a part of your future?
That's a good question, and I didn't actually. And it's probably props to my dad and my mom of just supporting my siblings and I to do whatever we wanted to do, whether that was music or dance or drama or baseball or golf or whatever. They did a really good job at helping us be well-rounded. And the future in baseball didn't really occur to me probably until my sophomore year of college, or after my sophomore year of college, when it was like, okay, I think my skill set Mike played to the pro game, and that was when professional scouts started to talk to me. So, yeah, early on, no, it was – I mean, it was definitely ingrained in us.
Yeah.
I mean, around the family dinners, we were talking baseball, we were watching baseball games, and it was just normal life. It wasn't something that I aspired to do early on, I would say.
Something you love, but not necessarily something you felt pressured to do.
Yeah, never felt pressured to do it.
So what was the extent of your knowledge of your family's baseball legacy as you were growing up?
Yeah, similar to my dad's, except my experience when I was a youngster was when he was coaching here at BYU. And it was fun to we spent time at the BYU baseball stadium. That was how we got to know each other and spent time with each other. So it always was just normal hanging out in the coach's office after games and trying to feel like I knew what was going on and putting in my input, and probably landed on deaf ears, but it was just something that was really cool and I felt special. My dad would go to some celebrity softball tournaments and you'd meet jazz players, and I just thought that was so cool, but also just kind of normal. It's kind of just what we did, and yeah, we just had an incredible growing up around the game.
There's nothing like growing up on a baseball field. I mean, my dad, he was not a big deal like that, but he played like fast pitch softball. So we just grew up going to, you know, traveling with him, going to all these games. And I wouldn't trade it for the world. There's something so special about that. Vance, you have 5 kids with your wife, Sharon: Tim, Andrew, Adam, Sarah, Natalie. Tim and Andrew played first base and shortstop for BYU before Adam followed. What expectations did you have when it came to your kids and baseball when they were growing up?
When they were growing up, it was like Adam said, we tried to give them opportunities to play other sports. And if you really had the truth, I think that Adam in high school was a much better basketball player than he was a baseball player, and had opportunities to continue playing basketball in college, but decided that he would go the baseball route. Andrew was a very good player, was an all-conference player here at BYU, and was captain of the team two years, voted by his peers. And Tim was one of the best defensive first basemen that I have ever not only seen, but had I played with him, he could pick anything in the dirt. He was just really, really a good defensive first baseman. But it wasn't an expectation. They showed promise. I was told by some people that I shouldn't probably recruit my sons to BYU, being the coach and the idea that nepotism entered in. But I decided that along talking with my assistant coaches, what does BYU stand for? And who are we trying to recruit? We're trying to recruit good people, good students, and good athletes. And I felt like all three of my sons, our sons, fall into those three categories. So why not? And they played and performed very, very well. Adam was an all-conference player here also. And, you know, I think the proof's in the pudding there. He ends up getting drafted and has a very fine professional career. And had he been drafted in the time that I played, I have no doubt that he would have had a lengthy career in the major leagues. But analytics came into play and home runs started to be – they wanted to draft players that had power, not only at the plate but on the mound.
Yeah.
And that's something that I didn't have great power. And Adam didn't show a lot of power at that time either, but he had speed. He was a good bat-to-ball kind of guy, could make contact, was an excellent runner, ran the bases extremely well. And I thought he's got a chance to be a really good player in the major leagues. And unfortunately, the analytics said probably not. But he has aspired to and continued to work on different skills in his career, and now has a master's degree in athletic performance, mental performance, and hopes to at some point perhaps get back into professional baseball as a mental performance coach.
Mm. Yeah, Adam, you have an impressive career, and I want to go back to you having to coach Adam and your other sons, because that's kind of an interesting dynamic, which we actually have seen a few times here at BYU, again with the Kafusi. Steve Kafusi was here, recruited his sons. You now have Mari Whiting playing for the BYU women's basketball team for her mom. So, that, I mean, it happens. You maybe started that trend. But Adam, what was it like for you being coached by your dad, and how did you kind of make that separation?
Yeah, it was definitely a challenge. And like my dad said, probably basketball or golf was my best sport in high school, and baseball was always kind of backseat. So I walked on as a freshman to the baseball team, and in the back of my mind, I always felt that I didn't belong, that I was there just because of my dad. Mm-hmm. And my older brother was an exceptional player, and we were on the team at the same time. And so I saw his skill set. He's also my brother, but he was, I mean, just an excellent player, where I didn't play much as a freshman. And so I kind of felt like I was just there because dad was the coach. But then fortunately I went on a mission. I grew a little bit. I got stronger, and then the skills started to develop. And then in conversations with my dad afterwards, was he saw some potential development that would take place, and he rolled the dice on me. So yeah, it was weird at first, especially because I wasn't an impact player coming in, and I didn't have the long-term vision that he and Coach Roberts at the time shared.
Vance, what was that like from your perspective, having to balance being a dad and a coach to your sons?
I really tried. I think that I was tougher on my sons as far as and I spoke with particularly Andrew. I said, if you're going to be a player, you have to be better than the other guy. Hmm. And it has to be markedly noticeable by many people, just not by me. And so I would discuss these with my assistant coaches when it came time to make out a lineup. In fact, as a freshman, Andrew wasn't playing a whole lot, and he was behind another freshman that was playing well who got injured. And I had a choice between Andrew and another player. I talked with my assistant coach, and he said, well, if I were you, I wouldn't say that Andrew is markedly better, so I'd play this other guy. So I did. He struggled, which opened the door to allowing Andrew to try. And we were playing up at Utah, and I think he went 4 for 5 with a couple of doubles. Mm. And, you know, and then the rest is history. He started playing pretty much every day. And then when the player that was injured got better, he went back to the lineup and Andrew went to the bench. And that's just the way it goes. My sons understood that that's the way baseball is. It's not always going to be I'm in the lineup every day until you prove that you deserve to be there.
Yeah. That I'm sure that puts you in an interesting spot mentally. You probably have to try really, really hard. I would, but I'm a mother. That'd be really hard for me not to give that advantage to my son. But yes, at that high of a level, you have to be really careful with that. Adam, how competitive was your family growing up? Because I don't know about your younger sisters, but it seems like you three boys at the top were probably pretty competitive with each other.
Yeah, I think all of us are super competitive. I mean, from putting inside of the house to making a mini miniature golf course inside the house, or the small hoop or cornhole or Candyland, like chutes and ladders, all those. I mean, yeah, very, very competitive. And it was fostered from a young age of just people want to win, and you're the young guy, and so you got to figure out ways to beat your older brothers, whether it was truthful or cheating. You had to find a way, and I think it taught us all a little bit of a competitive edge, which is really exciting and probably still sticks to me to this day.
Vance, were you competitive with your sons as well in things like board games and?
Yeah, my wife always says, "Why don't you let the kids win one time?" And so Sharon, I apologize, but you know, it's just, I guess it was, I grew up with five boys, four brothers, and it was very competitive, particularly the one that was just older than me, Verl. He and I were very competitive. We played on the same basketball team through high school and then here at BYU, and it was ultra competitive between he and I. I didn't like to see people get mad, so I have told him since when we would play one-on-one in basketball, it didn't matter. It was just, I mean, I wanted to win, but it wasn't life and death like it was to him. And so there were times where I'd lay off because I really felt like I could beat him anytime I wanted.
I'd like to hear his perspective on that.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So then that just carried down to your own boys.
I think it did. And I don't think that it is – I don't think that it's something that assists or helps a young man or a young woman who is interested in athletics to just, you know, be apathetic. My dad always said, if you're going to play a game, you keep score. You don't just play. You play to you play and you keep score. That's why they do keep score. It matters who wins.
Right.
And so that's kind of the way that I was brought up, and I think we did the same thing when we have children.
Well, it's important to learn how to win, and it's also important to learn how to lose.
Without a doubt.
Because there's something to that as well. So now that you guys are a little bit older, Adam, do you guys still compete, or have you kind of mellowed out a little bit?
No, we still compete. I mean, and I'm fine to go out for a friendly game of golf, but he has his scorecard on the steering wheel there, and he's keeping track. We play a lot of cornhole, and we're keeping track, and it's been fun to – the older I've gotten, the tables have turned a little bit more. And
I can't think of the time that I've beaten Adam in cornhole, and that it's tough.
It's a hard pill to swallow.
It is.
Yeah,
it
I'm
is.
Sure. Vance, growing up, how did your family balance your dad's crazy baseball schedule and family life?
It was very important to my parents to keep the family together. And so my wonderful mother, who passed away a year ago this past December, she would drive us across the United States from Boise, Idaho to Fort Myers, Florida for spring training. When spring training was over, she would drive us back to Idaho to finish school while my dad went north to Pittsburgh to start the season. And then when school was out, she'd drive us from Boise, Idaho to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Those are four and five day trips in a station wagon, no interstate. It was two-lane roads and passing semis and doing all that. But we did that for probably – well, she did it for 12 or 13 years. And I can remember – I remember doing it throughout my life up until about age 12.
Wow.
So it was very important to them that we stayed together. Every house that we rented for the summer or for spring training, there was always a piano in there. It was important to her that – her children were well-rounded, and I continue to play the piano today because of her influence and insistence on us being well-rounded and doing things musically as well.
Yeah, I don't think enough emphasis can be put on the wives and the moms
and
all that they sacrifice and to try and keep the family together, right, when your career is so demanding. So how did you approach family life when you were heavily involved in pro baseball?
The exact same way. Early on, we drove to spring training. We drove. I would fly with the team. Sharon would drive up. Usually my dad would fly down and drive with her to Chicago or Montreal or wherever I was playing at the time. But that was always very important. And I cannot – you say probably the most important thing was keeping my family together, and Sharon, my wife – is just an unbelievable example of selfless giving as a mother, as a grandmother now. And I couldn't have had the career that I had without her by my side. She was my psychologist. When you have a couple or three 0-for-4s and you come home and you're trying to figure it out, I needed somebody to bounce that off of. And she was a great person to be able to talk it out with. And she was never, what's going on with you? You've got to do this. We're going to be out of baseball if you keep hitting like this. It was more, you know what you can do. Just relax. And, you know, she was very mentally strong, which I really needed. I needed somebody that I could talk to about my career. We didn't have the benefit of having a mental performance coach. And, you know, it's such an important facet of the game that I'm really glad that people have adapted and adopted it into athletics.
You're like, Sharon, I'm so sorry that you were my mental stability for all those years.
That's right.
I think that's amazing. And I'm sure it's, yeah, I don't know. The word balance is so interesting, right? Because you can never have a perfect balance between all the different things that you're trying to do. But another one of those things that you kind of have to balance is being a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So what was that like, being a member of the LDS faith and being in the pro baseball world?
It's not conducive to religious activity. And I hate to put a stigma, but there's a lot of construction worker talk, not real clean language, but really good people. I found professional baseball players to be really, really good people. But that was one of the great things about the church, is that no matter where I played, there was always a church. And Sharon always had friends built in, you know, wherever we went. The church members were always there to accept us as a family. We became as active as we could. I would try to go to church on the road. Usually it was only priesthood meeting, and then I'd have to leave to go to the ballpark. I got some stories to tell about some of the things that took place while I'm trying to get to priesthood meeting or church or a sacrament meeting. I can tell you one time I went to priesthood meeting one morning in Boston with Bruce Hurst, another member of the church, and later that afternoon faced him. He was a member of the Boston Red Sox, and I was with the White Sox. Happened to break up a no-hitter in the bottom of the top of the seventh inning that he was pitching against us. And it was there were probably seven or eight other LDS athletes that we would get together whenever we were in the towns where we were playing. And so the church has been a huge part of our life together, and for our children as well. It's just been it's been a solidifying part of what we did as a baseball family.
Adam, you're married and you have a son. Is that right?
Yeah.
What are just some of the things that you learned from your own dad that you try to pass down to your son as you're in the baseball world as well?
Yeah. I think probably just patience. My dad was never a yeller. He was never sitting on the front row screaming and yelling at us. I never felt the pressure of you miss a shot in basketball, or you strike out and your immediate, your first move is to look over and see what dad's saying or what he's thinking. And he just did such a nice job with us of just go play and have fun. I think not only was it stressed, yeah, you keep score, but you don't work ball, you play ball. Yeah. And that was always stressed. And so I think hopefully fostering that type of attitude, mentality, our little guy is just 18 months old, and fostering the mentality where he can go out and have fun. He can respect his own coach, even if maybe his dad might know more than his own coach, but just let the kids go play and have fun. There's going to be a time and a place where they'll need to be blown up or told what to do, but that time and place doesn't come, in my opinion, until you're a junior or senior in high school. And hopefully I can foster that just type of love for the game and all sorts of different games in my own children.
Gosh, I didn't really think about that, where some of the coaches, they were probably sweating bullets when your dad was there watching your games or your, you know, that's going to happen to you, I'm sure, as well. Like, my gosh, this guy knows so much more than I do about the sport.
I would imagine so, but what was cool is it never crossed my mind as a kid of, oh, I need to talk to my dad about this footwork on this jump shot.
Yeah.
Because he never made it seem like he was Mr. Know-it-all, even though he may have known more than my coaches, and I had the freedom to go to my coaches and learn from them.
But you learned to respect your coaches regardless of that. I love that. So you mentioned that your dad wasn't the one kind of yelling on the sideline. What about your mom?
She was also she kept it under control. Like, the more I've dabbled in the coaching game in professional athletics and in college athletics, the concept of acting differently from how you feel starts to resonate deeper with me. And I can only imagine, as my kid grows up, I'm probably going to be super nervous inside, but And I say that because I would imagine that my parents also were super nervous inside, whether it was a state championship basketball game or my professional debut, but they never showed it. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's – my mom was never a yeller or a screamer. I would imagine they all had sweaty palms, but they just sat there and clapped and never made a scene, which at the time I was like, oh, like my parents, they're there, they're supporting me. But the older I get, I can just imagine that they had those butterflies of – big games and wanting their children to be successful.
Mm, I love that. That's some emotional control right there. Vance, as a father and a pro baseball player, what was better, your own achievements or being able to watch your kids grow and find their own success? Kind of a trick question. but truly, what has felt more just better to you?
There are some moments in your career that you'll never forget, yeah, and that were very special. But to see our children succeed in their athletic endeavors has been really gratifying. In fact, maybe the greatest achievement or the greatest thrill that I had in sports is when I was coaching at Provo High School for a period of time. They hadn't been to a state tournament game in like 15 years, and they hadn't won a state championship in 25. And our team, in my third year at Provo High School, we won a state championship. Mm. And to see the joy of those young men who we had worked with throughout the winter, 5 o'clock batting practice times at Provo High School in the extra little tiny gym with batting cages. That's the time that we had to practice in the off season. And those kids were there every day. And for us to win the state championship was the biggest thrill. I had said, hey, if we win the state championship early on in the season, you can shave my head. Somebody, Jeremy Frampton, I think, remembered to bring clippers on state championship Saturday. And we won. And sure enough, they laid me down on the infield and shaved my head.
Wow.
And it was an ugly haircut.
You should have known better. Kids yes. don't forget stuff like that.
It was great. But really, to see Adam do so well, Andrew do so well, and Tim do so well, and Sarah, our other daughter, was a very good athlete, and to watch them succeed, it just really makes you very, very proud. And though some of my moments were always memorable, I think watching your children succeed is the greatest thrill a parent can have.
I love that. And Adam, you've done some amazing things. You played in the Dodgers organization for 6 years. After retiring, you worked for the Dodgers International Operations and Player Development. So what kind of work were you able to do for them at that time?
Yeah, good question. So we started a pilot program in Uganda, in mm-hmm. Africa. I had served my mission in Zimbabwe, also in Africa. And when I retired from playing, the Dodgers called and said, hey, we want to start an academy over there, and knew of my background in Africa. And so my newly married wife and I headed over there and started this thing up off the ground, all while I was in graduate school getting my master's degree in performance psychology, which ultimately was kind of my dream, is to work as a mental skills coach. And we intertwined player development, scouting, some new ways of training baseball players, and then have since kind of copied and pasted what we did in Africa to now what Dodger player development looks like today. So,
wow.
Yeah. And then we moved back stateside, and I worked as a mental performance coach with the Dodgers for a couple years prior to taking this job here at BYU.
So with everything you've learned in that Dodgers job, what have you kind of implemented to the BYU baseball team with what you're doing now?
Yeah, twofold. First, how we train our players. We've kind of gotten away from more of an old school mentality of what a traditional baseball practice looks like, and we've incorporated some newer evidence-based approaches to acquiring skills and developing motor patterns, which has been really fun, getting creative and having some fun with the boys. And then secondly, from a mental standpoint of hopefully infusing mental skills into who we are rather than just what we do. And it's not somebody coming in and just telling people how they should think or how they should approach situations, but rather we've hopefully created an environment where our athletes, it's just what we do, and this is how we respond to failure. This is how we handle stress. This is how we focus on the present moment, and it's just who our fabric is as BYU baseball.
How many years have you been with BYU baseball now?
This is just starting my second season.
Okay.
Yeah, so fresh.
So you might barely be seeing some of these things come to fruition, right, on the team.
Yes, yes. Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
That is super cool. That's fun. That's
it's something fun to watch for. It's fun.
Vance, sports teaches you so many life lessons and gives you experiences that you wouldn't otherwise have. What do you think is the greatest thing you've learned from the game of baseball?
Hard work. It didn't take me long for that answer. It's such a long season. The rewards are great, particularly in this day and age. If you happen to sign a multi-year contract that is worth, where you don't have to work again. I didn't play in that era, but it was still a lifelong goal that I had, even as a 5 or 6 year old. I knew what my dad was doing, and that just looked like fun. And that's what I wanted to do since I was about that age. And I knew that in order for that to take place, no stone could be left unturned. You just had to work. And you always took BP. And nobody threw better batting practice than my dad. You have a Cy Young Award winner who could just paint the corners like no pitcher. No other batting practice pitcher. I struggled early on in my career with handling an inside fastball. And so when we came home in the off season, I was able to work out in the old field house when they could drop the nets there, and my dad would just continually hammer inside fastballs at me until I finally got the idea of what I needed to do. And, I have a great debt to pay to my father, and gratitude. He has just been a wonderful coach and a wonderful dad.
Incredible. I love that so much. And Adam, BYU's baseball season starts February 14th, the day of love for the game you love, right? Kind of cool. As an assistant coach, what do you like about this year's baseball squad?
Hard work, to what my dad said, is for whatever reason this year, the boys have really come together, and it's fun to pop down to the office late at night to get something and the batting cages are full, or the boys are hanging out in the clubhouse playing ping pong because they're taking a break from hitting off of the machines. So it's really fun to see our team culture become more of a cohesive unit rather than just individuals playing. So that's been really fun. So I look forward to seeing them play together as a team. We've got some new and exciting pieces on the offensive side, with some players who transferred in, as well as some current freshmen. And I'm really excited and looking forward to see how we'll pitch it. That's what it always boils down to, is how well can pitchers throw. And so we'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll give it a go. And, I just can't wait. I mean, I think it's 24 more days till the season starts.
I love it.
Yeah.
So awesome. I'm here with former BYU baseball legends, Vance and Adam Law. Thank you guys so much for telling your stories and for taking the time with me today.
Thank you, Lauren.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks again to Vance and Adam Law for coming on the show with me. Tori Kimball helped produce this episode with senior producer Terry South. You can join the Royal Legacy wherever you get your podcasts, on Apple, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, or on BYUradio.org. Royal Legacy is a production of BYU Broadcasting.